Good morning. Welcome you to our worship service this morning. I'm Pastor Dave Natsky, filling in for Pastor Randy. He and Bishop Lori were at a wedding yesterday for their son over in Minnesota, so he asked me if I would fill in for him. Some things have changed since I was here last. I noticed they've got a pillow here and some Legos. And that must be if anybody, you know, is getting stressed out or... I couldn't find a microphone, so I'll be using whatever I can find up here. If you can't hear me, you can always move closer, but you don't... But you don't have to. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
We join in our first song, Word of God, Come Down on Earth. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison. Loving God, your Son gives himself as living bread for the life of the world. Fill us with such a knowledge of his presence that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life to serve you continually through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading comes from Proverbs chapter 9 verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. The word of the Lord. The next reading comes from Psalm chapter 34 verses 9 through 14. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. Come, children, and listen to me. I will teach you reverence for the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from lying words. The second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times, and for making everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
According to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week I asked Pastor Randy if it'd be okay if I came to worship last Sunday so I get a feel for what worship is like since he has been the pastor here. And it was a gratifying, a beautiful experience to worship here once again. But last Sunday, sitting in the pews and looking up, one thing that struck me this time was that this outline that we have above the altar, it's just an outline. There's no color in it. And I'm not sure when it was designed, if that were the way that they designed it. If you're not a Christian, what does that design mean to you? If you happened to walk into the building, would it have any meaning for you? It takes on a meaning for us, and a very deep meaning, because of our connection with Jesus Christ. And we see just the outline. And right away we think of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And what struck me last Sunday was without any coloring in it, we have no idea what nationality that person is. We have no idea what the color of the skin of that person is. In a way, we're saying to the whole world, Jesus is the Good Shepherd of everyone.
the whole world over. And we don't even know or care. It doesn't matter to us what nationality, what color of skin that Jesus was. What is important is that he is our good shepherd. The gospel reading that we have for today is going to come up again next Sunday. And so I'll let that for Pastor Randy next Sunday. And rather, I'd like to focus on the reading that we had from Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison, perhaps in Rome, we don't know. He doesn't say. And it's possible that this wasn't just written to the church in the community, the city of Ephesus, to the Christians there, but that was written for them, and then they were to pass it around to all the other congregations and read in those congregations as well. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has issues with the congregation that he started. He has issues with the people, and he just goes right at them and says, hey, this isn't the way Christians are to live. In the letter to the Ephesians, he doesn't pick on specific issues necessarily of that church, but more of a general nature that all Christians wrestle with. The book is divided into two parts, six chapters, three that talk about our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And three chapters that talk about, okay, so we have this faith in Christ. What difference does that make in my life? How is my life different? And so in chapter 4, Paul begins with saying, I, a prisoner of because of Jesus Christ, encourage you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you were called. And then he gets into practical aspects that touch all of us. But first, we go back to those first three chapters, because that's what gives us all foundation. That's why we should act this way. And in chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, for vacation Bible school this year, I don't remember what that poster all had in it, but the theme for vacation Bible school this year, where they made that poster, was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Familiar to many of us. By grace, you are saved through faith. Paul doesn't say this, but it's implied, through faith in who? In Jesus Christ. It is a gift from God. And on our part, there is to be no boasting. Nothing that we have done to deserve this gift, because it is from grace, God's grace, and grace is love that we have received that we haven't deserved. Let's take a example. I don't know how realistic it is, but let's imagine today's your birthday. And you get up, and you just graduated from high school this last spring. You get up and your parents give to you this 8x11 manila envelope with the clasp on it. And you open it up, and on the outside of the envelope it says to and whatever your name is from Grandpa and Grandma. You open it up, and there's a piece of paper in there, and there's another envelope in there. Another vanilla envelope, smaller, thicker though. And so you take out the paper and it says to your name and then our beloved grandson or granddaughter, this is our gift to you. Use it however you will. And you open the other envelope and you see that in there are two stacks evenly divided. And you pull one stack out and it's all $1,000 bills. And you sort of flip through them, and you're really good at this. And you say, it must be 100 in this first one, and I imagine there's 100 of those in the other one. That gives me $200,000. I can do with it what I want. I can buy a house. I can buy a car. And a few other things still left over and have some money for myself. Or I could set it aside and I could use it for my expenses at college. I don't know if you can get through college on $200,000 nowadays. I don't know. And you think about it a while. And then you say to yourself, no, I do not want this money. And you get a little basket or something and you start tearing it up. Big chunks. Throw it in the basket, go outside to the fire pit, and you set it on fire. And you burn it up. And you say, I don't want this gift from my grandparents because I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to make my own way in life. Nobody's going to help me. That's what it would be like to receive the gift of faith that God offers to us by grace.
Does anybody ever turn away that gift? Does anybody ever turn their back on Jesus Christ? It happens, right? There are a lot of people who grew up as children of God, as children in faith of Jesus, in Jesus, Jesus Christ. Oops. I think I lost myself.
And they've turned away from it. They've left it behind as if it meant nothing to them, as if it wasn't important for them in life. On the other hand, there are some Christians, devout Christians, who say, you know, in the end, God is going to save everybody. And so it really doesn't matter. This faith thing really doesn't matter to us very much. Whether people belong to Jesus or have faith in him or not, doesn't matter. They're going to be saved anyway. For others, it's the things that we have received in life, some of them we consider to be our dear, deep blessings. But they don't help us very much with our faith, necessarily. It could be that these things that we have received, you know, the stuff we've got nowadays, like Pastor Randy was talking about last week, does the stuff that we have always lead us to a deeper faith? Nowadays, we've got enough money, we can go for a weekend to the Twin Cities, or we can go anywhere, many of us, not all. Or we can go to some foreign country. We can buy ourselves a cabin somewhere up north. To me, living south, I always thought this area, Wisconsin, was up north, but I guess you could still go farther north than here. And we've got this cabin, and we've got to make use of it. And so when things open up in spring, we've got to be out there at the cabin until it's going to be too cold, and then we can't go up there anymore. But in the process, we pull ourselves away from the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Our blessings aren't always, or the things we count our blessings, aren't always a blessing for us. And it can happen too that people start fighting over their blessings. You got more than I did. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. And so the Apostle Paul says that we've received this faith in Christ as a gift, and it's a gift for us to give to other people. Right? That's our calling, to be the ones who pass on that gift to others.
Then in chapter 5, he says, be careful. Be wise. Because the days are evil. Do you believe that? Or do we think, you know, back years ago, those were the good old days. Then there wasn't as much sin in the world. There wasn't as much evil in the world. Can we go back to the Depression? Were those the good old days? World War II, were those the good old days as it pulled our nation together? Or in the 50s when we got into a Cold War with Russia and we built shelters to protect us in case of a nuclear attack? Or we get into the 60s and in that era, authority lost its power among the people. I'll do what I please. In the 70s, we were back in war again in Vietnam. And then the drugs came in and tore families apart. And what's gone on since then? The days are evil. They always have been. Ever since sin came into the world, the days have been filled with evil. And so for us, the word is, be careful. Be wise. Don't be foolish. Know what the will of the Lord is. It's about right over there. What is the will of the Lord? Jesus said in John, in the 6th chapter earlier, the will of the Lord is that we believe in the one who he sent, in Jesus Christ. As we are doing that, as we are passing that word on to others, it brings us close to the center of who we are to be as a congregation. Not drawing attention to ourselves or what we as a congregation do or in the boasting, but always pointing people to the Good Shepherd. Pointing them to Jesus Christ and what he has done for us by his giving of himself on the cross and rising again. That's the basis of life. No more boasting. Don't be foolish. If we look in a mirror, well, let's look at it this way. If you look at that picture, what do you see? Do you see your face in the reflection? Probably not. We're not the ones called to be the Good Shepherd. But when we look in a mirror, what do we see then? Hopefully we see a lamb. A little lamb. A lamb that's going to remain little all of its life, always needing that shepherd to lead and guide. That little lamb may have at times a few teardrops going down the side of the face. It may be a little dirty. The wool might be a little dirty from time to time. And then we think of Psalm 51. You know, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. The forgiveness that Jesus offers to us. And so that's who we are as God's people. Always as those little ones that need to be fed and cared for. There's a thought up here that wants to come out, but it won't. And I don't remember what it is, but okay. Paul says, do not get drunk with wine. That is debauchery. Not that it's going to lead if you're drunk, it's going to lead to debauchery, but the drunkenness in and of itself is against God, because in the moment we have given up ourselves to something else, given up control of ourselves to something else. Now, is Paul against drinking? No. In another place, he tells Timothy, take some wine for your stomach. Maybe Timothy had stomach problems and the wine should help him out. Wine can be very risky, right? When Jesus, his first miracle that he performed was in Cana of Galilee, and the party had been going on probably for several days, and he makes over 200 gallons of wine, the best there is. Why so much? They certainly didn't need that much. But he gave it in abundance. So do we have to be careful with some of the gifts that God gives to us? To be sure. In moderation. What's moderation for one may not be for another. For me, it might be best if I stop at no drinking at all. For somebody else, it may be, I can have one. But I know that's my limit. Somebody else, two, three, more? I don't know. But be careful. Be wise. Remember what our purpose in life is. Remember whose child we are. Until when? Until time for the fullness of salvation comes. Paul started out by saying, you are saved by grace. The word saved has several different meanings. It means healed, it means being whole, and it means also being in the kingdom of God, now and forever. And we talk about salvation as something that is ours now, but is ours in its fullness after the end of this life comes. To that end, dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, may God's grace be with you. May it lead you to a deeper faith in Jesus Christ each day. May we always realize that it's a gift from God. And what does it lead to? Praise. Oh, what a joy it was being here last Sunday as Mary was playing and Pastor Randy accompanying on the guitar and hearing the songs, the psalm as we sang it last Sunday, songs and hymns and spiritual songs, giving praise to God in our hearts. May that be our life. It's a joy in Vacation Bible School when the little kids are singing. And when they come home and they keep singing those songs that they learned in Bible school, and they're just filled with joy to sing about Jesus. We get to do it our whole life. May God be with us. Amen. The peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
rise and join in confessing our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray. Dear Lord, you build your church through faith in Jesus Christ, and you sustain it with living bread. Let wisdom guide your church, and teach all of us the way of righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, we're saddened as we hear the struggles of the people in Italy with the bridge that has collapsed and taken the lives of many. We are saddened along with the people of India amid the flood that again took the lives of many and the homes of many. We are saddened along with the families of the children on our southern border who wait to be united with their parents once again. Give your wisdom and your mercy to all the leaders of the world. Give to us all the courage to strive for peace and to pursue it. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, send calm and perseverance to those who are in trouble or who live daily with great stress. Fill them with your Spirit and satisfy them with your heavenly healing presence. We especially remember Lisa, Sue, Gary, Dave, Gay, Kathy, Jean-Ann, Lexan, Gordon and Carolyn, Dick, Ray, Wyatt, Sean, Otto, Libby, Owen, Sam, the family of Kurt Berkeley, the family of Barbara Williams. We remember our companion congregation in Malawi, the Valaka Parish, and Pastor Francis. We remember all who serve in our military and their families, and all people who are in prison, in hospitals, in care facilities, or confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, we thank you for Christ Lutheran Church. Give us gratitude for the many blessings that you have brought to us. Be with Pastor Randy and Bishop Lori as they celebrate the marriage of their son Matthew with Emily. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, we thank you for family, friends, pastors, teachers, sisters, brothers in Christ who have guided us in wisdom and insight and have brought us to hope in Jesus. Lead us until the day of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share the peace of Christ. We now receive the offering. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Please rise. Oh God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your strength, by your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We join in singing On Our Way, Rejoicing.